Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
The Reverend Al Green bringing us back, ladies and gentlemen. 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there. Whatever you got going on, wherever you are on the time continuum of ownership, from startup to growth to divestiture, we've got something you can read or listen to or watch there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Rich Galen is our guest. Rich is the writer and the publisher at Mullings.com, the thrice-weekly cyber column. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to. If you're a Republican, you're going to want to know what he has to say. And, Rich, thanks again for hanging out with us. We're talking about the fiscal cliff. In the previous segment, you gave us a pretty good tour of how we got to where we are right now. And so here we stand on the literally, Rich, our toes are pushing little gravels over the edge. You can hear them tinkling down, you know, across the cliff below us. We're at the edge of the fiscal cliff, and without any sense of shame, they haven't got anything resolved. I mean, they really are almost no closer today than they were 30 days ago, are they?
I think they are. And the reason that I think they are is because, we have talked about this in this program before, the underrated value of Joe Biden to this administration. Joe Biden was elected to the U.S. Senate when he was 29 years old. The Constitution requires you be 30. Happily for him, he turns 30 in November, so he turned 30 before he had to be sworn in. He's now my age, 66, 67, whatever he is. So he has spent his entire adult life in the U.S. Senate. Last night, or sometime late yesterday afternoon, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, decided to go around Harry Reid and go directly to
Joe
Biden.
Why did he need to do that?
Because Harry Reid is one of the most insecure human beings on the planet, I think.
Is he the worst Senate Majority Leader in the history of the Senate Majority Leader?
Well, I don't know. I can't go back and name them all, but certainly in my, 30-something years here in Washington, he's the worst.
And that's not, we're not being partisan here, folks.
No, because I said this on the air a couple of weeks ago about the Republicans in the House. When you're in the minority, It's really easy to be in the minority in Congress. You vote no, and then you go play golf because it's not your job. You just get to say no, and yeah, we hate that. When you're in the majority, you have an obligation to govern. Mm-hmm. Now, you can govern a little, you can govern a lot. That's a matter of discussion. But Harry Reid doesn't govern at all.
He is just a
Las Vegas thug.
Yeah.
And so what has happened is Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, has gone around him and reached out to Joe Biden, who really does understand how this place works.
And the two of them have a good relationship, apparently.
Yeah, they've been together for a quarter of a century in the Senate. And I think that I don't actually think they're that far apart. The Republicans.
So you think Joe Biden could save this thing?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think he's done this before. And I think because the president, again, as we talked about, the president doesn't know how to do it, that he turns the stuff over to Biden because Biden does know how to do it and can get it done. Look, the president understands that he doesn't want to start his second term with the stock market collapsing under his feet, you know, directly under the West Wing of the Capitol.
Here's another reason why Joe Biden's probably very effective here, and you and I were talking about this a little off the air. This whole process is very disdainful for the president, isn't it?
Yes,
he doesn't like duking it out in the trenches, does he?
No, and he didn't like the Senate when he was there for 12 minutes, and he doesn't like it anymore now that he's not there. I mean, in speeches I say the president has a wide range of feelings toward the United States Congress. It goes all the way from dislike to disdain. That's it.
Well, and they feel that, don't they? I mean, they see that, and it's not even just the Republicans. He feels that way.
Oh no. That's why Biden has been so valuable. That when the Democrats get their feathers up because the president ignores them, or just demands that they do what he says, which is what's going on now.
Well,
then Biden goes up to the Hill and kind of smooths the ruffled.
Well, and he can also be the president's straw man if he has to give in on some stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Say, look, this is
Joe talked me into this.
Or they let him get out ahead of stuff. Gay marriage is the best example.
Right.
They sent Biden out to say it first, and when the world didn't fall apart, then the president came out and boldly went where actually other people had gone before.
Right. So where are we on the big issues are spending and taxes, right?
Yeah, and the way the thing that happened, and
the sequestration.
Well, that's the spending part, yeah. The thing that has happened is that all of the discussion on tax increases has been on the positive side. Boy, we need this revenue. We have to have more money. And all of the negative talk has been on reducing spending. Oh, my God, if we cut spending on this, oh, my goodness, if that happens, oh, my. So it's completely upside down from what normal people would suggest if you're $16 trillion in the hole, where you want to, you do need more revenue, but we got to stop spending as much. This is crazy. This is like being an 18-year-old, bonus baby in baseball, and suddenly you don't need four houses, but you bought four houses, and not only that, but you're buying cars for your friends.
And yet, the Republican caucus, the part of the Republican caucus that's holding out against higher increases in taxes because they don't want the government to spend more money than they're already spending, those people are being vilified.
Yeah, because they haven't made the case correctly.
Yeah,
and it's frankly for a lot of to say that I think if they would have if the Republicans would have said 4 months ago, 5 months ago, look, $250,000 that doesn't make somebody wealthy. That includes a lot of federal workers here in Washington.
Right.
And if they would have raised that to $500,000, they said people would have said, all right, $500,000 you can pay a little more.
Right. Folks, without any sense of shame, we still have this situation that's coming down to the last minute of the and probably we're probably going over the cliff today. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Rich, what will that look like tomorrow? Stay with us. 10 till.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.